Dollars of praise. This evening we'll go back to Psalm 119, where we were in our studies on Sunday morning back about three months ago I think it was, and we're Psalm 119 verses 97 and following. We'll look at two sections, Lord willing, this evening. Psalm 119 beginning with verse 97. Before we read, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity of gathering here with God's people. And Father, how we love you and want to serve you and please you. And we pray as we have sung these hymns this evening that they were the expression of our hearts of worship and praise to the Lord our God. Father, now help as we go to your word. Might the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Open our eyes to see precious and wonderful truth from the word of God, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the first section. Psalm 119, all the sections are eight verses. And so we'll read 119 verses 97 and following. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So going back then to verse 97, genuine love for the word of God is seen in much meditation on the word through the day. And we often, as we look back at Psalm 119 earlier, because the subject of meditation comes up often in the Psalms, especially in Psalm 119, and the psalmist expresses his love for the word of God and how he meditates on the word of God and the strength and the stability that gives to him in his life. How often are our thoughts on God and his word throughout today is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Are we anything like the psalmist? He thought on the Lord, he meditated on his word, thought about his word, and that only comes as we purpose to walk with the Lord and spend time in his word every day. May God help us in that one. And then verse 98, the word of God has the characteristic of making us wiser than our enemies. That is a fact because God's wisdom for life and living are found in his word. Now, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, and I trust each one of us are here this evening, the fact that we have the word of God, the book that gives us wisdom that God has chosen to reveal his mind, his will, his plan, his purpose through. We are absolutely the richest people on planet Earth if we have a copy of the word of God that we can read it, study it, meditate on it, understand its truth, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. The Bible is the absolute game changer for every one of God's people and for us as we live in this world. Then the next point, do you ever wonder how people in this world have become so mentally challenged that they can't decide what a boy and what a girl is? Have you noticed that in our society? You know, how ridiculous. And then the next statement, or how a 50-year-old male can think he's a young teenage girl and swims with them in competition and showers with them. Now listen, if our world has degenerated to that place, where are they? How depraved are they? How wicked are they? And my question is, how did this world ever get to that place where they can't decide as to the gender of the child? They want the child to decide when he gets 6, 8, 10, 12 years old. Let them decide what gender they want to be. How'd they ever get to something that foolish? Because the light of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, has not affected, influenced their hearts and lives. And on this downward spiral away from God, that's how people get. And we'll see that in the message as we keep on going. Verse 98. The psalmist says his enemies are ever with him. Now the devil sees to it that God's people will always be under attack. Now that point has become very front and center to me in the last few months. I've always known it like you have always known it. But if you look at the world today, how the devil works to attack several things. The Bible-believing Christian, the Word of God, that's been all of our lifetime and yours and mine. But as we think of the nation of Israel for just a minute, the nation of Israel, they are God's chosen people, and how they are attacked in our day. And it's a relentless attack. And we almost are at the place now where we see, where we see the entire world, almost all of the nations of the world, turning against the nation of Israel. Why is that? Well, that's predicted, that's prophesied, that will happen one day. But what a sad turn of events to see the nation of Israel, God's people. Now, I know, like you know, they're in the land of Israel in unbelief. I understand that. Even though they are in the nation as unbelief, they are still God's people. And don't forget Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. So let's move on in verse 19. Imagine how the psalmist could say that he had more understanding than all his teachers in verse 99. The reason was that he had been taught by the Word of God. Now, you can be wiser than all the people around you by simply spending time and walking with God, and let the wisdom of the Word of God absorb into your heart and life, and let the Holy Spirit make the Word of God real to you. You can be wiser than your teachers. Now, the emphasis has been on meditation in this section, been mentioned a couple of times or two or three times. Now, memorize and think on the Word of God so that you can meditate on the Word of God. And then verse 100. Now the psalmist is able to say that he has more understanding of the times than the old people around him. That's also an interesting point. He attributes that to his walking in obedience to what God has written in the Word of God. So here's the psalmist. He said, I have become wiser than the ancients, that is, wiser than the people around me, wiser than the old people around me, because I have spent time with God. I know God, and God has revealed his wisdom unto me. So who else could fit into that category? You could, if you will spend time with God and spend time in his Word. God will make you wise. Then know God, meditate on his Word, and then actually do what is written in his Word as his Word teaches. Page 2 of our notes. So the whole point is, thus far from the psalm, walk with God, meditate on his Word, and allow the wisdom of God to fill your heart and your life. Now, verse 101. The psalmist says, he has refrained his feet from every evil way. He had to do that in order to walk in obedience to God's Word. Now, the person who will walk with God and allow the Word of God to saturate his heart and his mind and his very soul with the Word of God, that person will be able to do what the psalmist did in verse 101. He refrains his feet from every evil way. Evil way. How would he know what ways are evil? As a result of knowing the Word of God, being saturated with the Word of God, it would be easy for the Spirit of God in the psalmist, as the Spirit of God would do with you and I as we walk the same road, to show us what is evil and what is not. Then, a second thought. Separation from the world and the gratification of the flesh are absolutely required in order to live the victorious Christian life. Separation is a way of life for God's people. Separating from the world, being separated unto God, and having a real walk with the living God. Well, ask your question. The person who calls himself a Bible-believing Christian and attempts to walk with one foot in this world and one foot in biblical Christianity, how happy is he? He is not. He cannot be. We are reading and describing in Psalm 119 the person who has learned to have a real walk with the living God, who knows what is right, knows what is wrong, knows what is good, knows what is evil. And the psalmist has purposed, he's separating from anything that could come between him and God. And let me tell you, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you have experienced like I have, in your life, when you are absolutely separated from this world and you dedicate yourself unto God, the love and the joy and the peace and the presence of God that passes understanding will fill your heart and life. Amen? Exactly how it works. And then another point. Walking after the evil things of this world would poison the soul and blind the eyes from seeing God and the truth of God's word. So we don't want that to happen. So the person that has experienced this real walk with God that the psalmist is describing, he gladly separates from everything and anything that would hinder or interrupt that glorious fellowship that he's able to have with the Lord his God. Then verse 102. The psalmist kept the judgments of God in view as he walked the road of life. He recognized there were consequences to walking to disobedience to the word of God. He also recognized that God himself was his teacher. As New Testament believers, we recognize the Holy Spirit has been given to us by God to be our teacher. We have a bit of an advantage over the Old Testament saint in this regard. At the new birth, as we have explained so many times, and I never get tired of it, and I hope you don't, when we are born again, a divine spirit, a member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, comes to take up residence in you as a Bible-believing Christian. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer is a multifaceted ministry. He does many things in and for the believer. But one of the important things, as seen in verse 102 of the psalm, is that the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. When you study the Bible, you might want to at times go to a commentary on a difficult passage of Scripture, or if you have Spiro Soliades in the All of Your Bible program, you can just touch on the verse, on the word that you want some explanation on, and the definition comes up and it helps you a lot with explaining the thought in the verse, in a verse. But you know, as we do that, and as we get serious in studying the Bible and wanting to know and have the very wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, your teacher, to a great extent, will open your eyes to the Scriptures. Now, you will find this happening if you will meditate on the Word of God. That is, take one verse, maybe a couple of verses, depending on how many points are made in a particular verse. Spend time on, read a verse over, and read a verse over again, and maybe read it 4 or 5 or 10 times even. Slowly read it over, meditatively read it over. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will begin to open your eyes to see the riches that God has incorporated into that particular verse of Scripture. You can't do your Bible devotions in 5 or 10 minutes. Probably not. Won't be nearly as effective as it could be or should be. Spend time. How much time? Well, you figure that out. But spend time every day, simply reading, meditating on the Scriptures, and let the Spirit of God fill your heart. I'm reminded of the point we made Sunday morning in the message of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember them? They were walking and they were sad, and Jesus came alongside of them and expounded to them the Scriptures, and they said later, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us in the way, while he was expounding to us the Scriptures? The key to a burning heart, the key to being wise and having this wisdom that God is talking about in this psalm, is spend time, read, meditate, even memorize truths from the Word of God to feed your soul. It's rich indeed. Verse 1, I lose track of where I am. I think we're in verse 103. The psalmist found the word of God to be sweet to his taste. In other words, something that he loved and delighted in. Found it sweet. I want to do a survey tonight. Are you ready for the survey? How many people like sweets at the end of a meal? Okay. It's nice to have just a little, notice a little piece of something sweet at the end of a meal, right? Why is that? Now, when you get old, you can't do that very often for obvious reasons. When you're young, go ahead, help yourself. But isn't it kind of nice to have something that's a little bit sweet? God made our bodies to like things that are sweet generally. I know it doesn't fit everybody, but probably most people. The psalmist, he looked at the word of God as something sweet, something that would just add the icing on the cake to his day, spending time with the word of God. Probably one of the sweetest things in this world is honey. The psalmist found the word of God to be sweeter than honey to him. Do you get the idea from this psalm thus far that this man, he really loved God? He really loved his word, and he spent time in his word, and the powerful impact that the word of God had on his heart and his life. Let's learn from him. Verse 104. This is the third mention of understanding in this section. The word of God gave the psalmist great understanding as to God and his person, and as to navigating through this world. If the psalmist discovered that about 3,000 years ago, more or less, I hope you have discovered that, that the word of God gives you wisdom and enables you to make your way through this life in a glorious, victorious fashion that's pleasing to God and gratifying to yourself as a person. The next point. This God-given understanding caused the psalmist to hate everything that was false. I want you to think about that. This God-given understanding that the psalmist had as a result of spending much time in the Word of God caused him to hate everything that was false. If I gave you a pen and a piece of paper tonight and I asked you to write down all of the things that you hate, how long would the list be? Now, not people, please, but things that you hate in this life, things that you find absolutely, definitely detrimental to your Christian life, and you have a hatred for them. I think the Bible is clear. On the one hand, there's stuff in this world, especially in our day, that are so incredibly wicked and off the chart, we ought to hate. On the other hand, on the biblical side, on the spiritual side, those of us who are Bible-believing Christians, we ought to develop such a strong love for God and His Word that we love Him with all of our heart, and our love for God is so strong, it will automatically cause us to hate anything that would get in the way, that would hinder us in our walk with this God whom we love. Remember, back to our notes, the devil is a liar and a deceiver. Our world at this point in its history is being flooded with lies on every hand. If you watch the news at all, if you kind of keep up with what's going on in this world, you discover that this world is full of lies. How do you find your way through life when there is so much untruth, just wicked, godless lies in our culture? How do you find your way through? Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter what you read. Doesn't matter what you listen to. Be on guard. Beware of all the lies. Then the next point made, we'll kind of sum it up. With the Word of God as our guide, critically examine everything that you see and hear, lest you be deceived by your adversary, the devil. I want to look at that statement one more time. please follow along, with the Word of God as your guide, and I should have added to that point, with the Holy Spirit, your teacher, dwelling within you, critically examine, that's crucial, critically examine everything you see and hear, lest you be deceived by your adversary, the devil. Question, who is behind all of the lies that we see in our culture today? Who's behind it? None but the devil himself. Jesus called him a liar. Jesus called him a deceiver. He has had 6,000 years of experience, him and the demonic spirits that work with him. They have had 6,000 years of experience at deceiving and destroying people. Can I ask you, be awake, be on guard, because this deceiver is working nonstop to attempt to lie to you and deceive you about things in this life. Be aware. Be aware. We have an adversary. Is it 1 Peter 5, 9 or 2 Peter? Yeah, 1 Peter 5, 9. Talks about him as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We have a vicious, wicked, unbelievably wicked enemy, the devil. And just because you're a Bible-believing Christian, he's not going to leave you alone. Question is this, does he have to worry about the unsaved people in our day? He already has them under his control. But the devil will work nonstop on the Bible-believing Christian to attempt to destroy him or her. That's his program. That's his agenda. Beware of this wicked adversary. Let's move on. Psalm 119, verses 150 and following. The psalmist says this, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Another very rich section of scripture. So let's go back to verse 105 in our notes. The word of God is described as a lamp and a light. The word of God describes this world as a place of darkness, isn't that right? Jesus spoke about that. And without the word of God, the unbelieving world is unable to navigate through this world without being totally deceived and blinded by the devil. Picture this, a pitch black, dark world. And the people who are unsaved are being blinded by the adversary, the devil. Blinded to what? Blinded to ever seeing and finding the truth in Christ. Blinded as to the preciousness and the value of the unsearchable truths of the Word of God. Blinded and deceived. And so the masses in our day are walking through this dark world on a broad road, according to Jesus, heading straight to an eternal hell where they will suffer the consequences of their decisions they made to stay in that blindness throughout the endless ages of eternity. What a situation the lost find themselves in a dark world and blind. Now, do you wonder why people have the opinions and say the things and come to the conclusions that they do in life? Because they're blind in a dark world and can't see where they're going. Then we as Bible-believing Christians have what? The light of the Word of God, the light of the person of Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit. And we are a light walking through a dark world. Question, if that's true, should our Christianity be visible? Should our Christianity be visible? Should your Christianity be visible where you work and where you live and where you do business? Should you be visible? Remember, Christ gave his life. He represents light. And wherever you and I go in this world, we are a light in a dark world. Where's this verse of scripture? Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember that verse? Jesus used that in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works and the way you live your life. And come to the place where they glorify your Father, our Father which is in heaven. Verse 106 in our text. The psalmist made an absolute commitment to God, to walking by the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. The absolute commitment to God. That's something that you and I also ought to do. The psalmist made an absolute commitment to God, to walk by the Word of God and obey the Word of God. Would you join the psalmist in making such a commitment to God? What is a commitment? God has given you life. You control that life. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are there to lead you in life. But bottom line is, you have control of your life. You make choices, as you'll see in just a minute as we go further in the notes. Commit your life to Christ. Commit yourself to walking in absolute obedience to the Word of God. Let's move on in Psalm 119, verse 107. The psalmist says he is afflicted very much. This implies he is being oppressed and humbled. Afflicted very much. Not afflicted a little, afflicted very much. Question, what would very much affliction look like? The next question we could ask is, how does the psalmist navigate through life being very much afflicted? Lots of struggles, lots of troubles, lots of trials seem to be coming to him most every day. How does he handle them? Then the second statement. His second statement, he asked God to give him life and strength as promised in the Word. How do you and I make it through life when life becomes hard? What we have described from the psalm so far as to this world being a place of darkness full of satanic lies and deception, and now being added to that opposition from our adversary, the devil, opposition to the children of God, everyday opposition, tests and trials, physical things that you and I go through. How do we make it? Here's how. Commit to a real walk with the living God, a real walk in the Word every day. What's needed today are Bible-believing Christians who stand strong in the Word, who stand in the power of the might of God's Holy Spirit, who walk in victory, who put the world behind them, and look to Christ and the power that Christ has promised in his word and live a successful, victorious Christian life to the honor, praise, and glory of God. Verse 108. The psalmist begs God to accept his praise and thanks. Like the songs that we sang this evening, full of praise and thanks to God, might that represent the tone and the tenor of our lives? Verse 109. My soul is continually in my hand. We know that the soul is made up of mind, will, and emotions. This statement would seem to imply that the psalmist determined the thoughts of his mind, the direction of his will, and the response of his emotions to the varied circumstances in his daily life. You get to make hundreds of choices every day. All of your choices should be in harmony with what the Word of God teaches. So the question comes to mind from this verse. How do you respond to all of the physical, emotional, spiritual challenges that come to you on a daily basis? How do you respond to them? How do you respond to bad news? You had bad news lately? How do you respond to bad news? Have you personally had bad news lately? Someone you love has had some hard things to go through. How do you respond? The psalmist said, "My soul is continually in my hand." I understand that to mean this. He determined how he would respond with mind, will, and emotions to any scenario, excuse me, to any scenario that he faced in life. He chose his response. If you hear of a tragedy, how do you respond? If a tragedy comes to someone you love, how do you respond? If a hardship comes to you, how do you respond? You get to choose your response. The psalmist, we saw just a minute ago, was going through great affliction, great trials. If affliction and trials come to you, how do you respond? You get to choose your response. The Bible has given us plenty of instruction as to how to respond in any situation that you and I might ever face in this life. And as we've already said towards the beginning of this message, God has given you the Holy Spirit to enable you and to help you to respond in a way that your response will bring glory to God. You can hear of a tragedy in your family, a hardship in your family, or a hardship in your personal life, and you can fall apart, man. Probably all of us have been there. Probably all of us have been there. But can I tell you this, based on what the Word of God teaches and based on our knowledge of God, you can be strong. You can choose to be strong. You can what? You can choose to be strong? Yes. When hard things come to God's people, they can choose to be strong. Let's move on in our text and we'll see that. Look at verse 110. The psalmist was well aware of the snares the wicked would lay for him. Example, when Daniel was commanded to stop praying by the wicked of his day, what did he do? Daniel, if you'll stop praying for 30 days, you'll have no problems. But Daniel, if you're caught praying in the next 30 days, not going to look good for you, boy. So why don't the wicked just leave God's children alone? I want you to think of an answer to that question. Think about Daniel. the people who hated him in the kingdom, why didn't they just leave him alone? Question. The people who hate the Bible-believing Christians in our day, why don't they just leave us alone? Remember under COVID a few years back? 2-3 years back? What did they say about churches? Lock the door, close the door, no church! Okay? Why don't they just leave us alone? If we would have all got COVID and died, they wouldn't care, right? They wouldn't care. Listen, the Bible-believing Christian will always find himself under attack from these people in this world that's characterized by darkness, inspired by our adversary, the devil, to attempt to destroy us, the Bible-believing Christians of this generation. That's been going on forever. The wicked are inspired by the devil to destroy the righteous. Seems like the snares of the wicked simply drove the psalmist back to God's word. And they sure did. And he had strength from there, and he kept on trucking on. Verse 111. The word of God would become the lifelong companion of the psalmist. He had experienced the tremendous joy found in God's person and God's word. What a testimony he had. And then in verse 112. Notice the comment of the psalmist. He committed himself to walk in exact obedience to every detail as defined in the Word of God to the very end of his earthly life. Can I read that statement again? In verse 112, notice the commitment of the psalmist. He committed himself to walk in exact obedience to every detail as defined in the Word of God to the very end of his earthly life. And might I say, that is the very same commitment that you and I need to make. May God help us. Closing thought in our notes. Needed men and women who would be like the psalmist in this day and hour of human history. Committed to God, committed to standing, committed to glorifying God no matter what. May God help us to be such a people. If the psalmist, about 3,000 years ago, with what he knew from God, as revealed in the scriptures then, from the Old Testament text that he had available to him, if he could commit his life to what we've read this evening, you and I as New Testament Bible-believing Christians, enlightened and empowered by God's Holy Spirit, having in our Bibles the complete revelation of God, surely we can be like the psalmist, commit ourselves to stand for Christ at whatever cost and experience the riches of the love, grace, and mercy of our Lord and our God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you have given us this evening in the Word of God. We thank you, Father. Lord, you've been so good to us, and you were so good to the psalmist. And even though he said in the verses we read tonight that his life was full of affliction, lots of struggles and troubles and trials came his way, full of affliction. And yet, he knew the riches, the glorious presence of Almighty God with him, teaching him, making him wiser than his teachers, making him wiser than the old people of his generation, giving him wisdom to walk the road of life in a dark, dismal world. And Father, so we the same. May we be challenged and encouraged as we've looked at the psalmist, and might we say, Lord, we surely can follow his path. We can surely walk like him. And Father, I pray that we would. I pray that you'd help us and give us the strength of your Holy Spirit to live a life pleasing, honoring, and glorifying to you. Come what may, in this world in which we live, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.